morning. What a day of beginnings this day is. It's good to see so many people in worship. We begin our fall programming. We begin our Sunday school program. The choir is here. It is a day of beginning, and it's good for us to be together to worship the one who unfolds all the beginnings of our life to us. Thank you, Bill. Is this okay? Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to say a word of welcome. I think we're going to see if we can get a little bit more volume. I'll try to turn up mine as well. First of all, I want to say a word of welcome to all who might be visiting with us. It's good that you are here, and if you'd like to be part of what God is up to within our community, talk to myself or one of the other pastors. We begin a new members class in less than a month, so I encourage you to come and be part of that if you'd like to be part of what God is up to in our community. Much work is being done by a transition task force, and at this time I'd like to invite Tom Ide, who is the chair of our transition task force, to make a couple of announcements. Thank you, Tom.
Good morning. I'm more vertically challenged, so the mic is closer to me. So I am one of the members on our transition task force, and as we've talked about several times, we are working towards completing something called the ministry site profile. Basically, it's a whole pile of questions that we put out there to describe our church to pastors who may be interested in taking on our call of a new senior pastor. There's a lot of questions in there. There's all the demographic questions, how big is our congregation, you know, what's our favorite sports teams, how many, you know, different music groups we have, different things like that that we're able to answer some of those. But a couple of big questions are out there that we want all of you to help with. Some of those questions are on what are the top priorities for our church, and around what traits are we looking for in our senior pastor. So what we've done to help that along is we've created focus groups. And I forget how many there are. There's like 30 different focus groups. They're based on how old you might be, your marriage status at this point, if you have kids in Sunday school, or if you have teenage kids. There's all kinds of different groups, all kinds of different times. You need to sign up. Get me? Okay. We need you to participate because we want to make sure that what we're putting together as a committee really represents what everyone in the congregation sees as important things. So you'll go to the focus group, sign up in the back. There's also a link online. Yes, technology has hit all of it, Lutheran Church. So you can go there and sign up. At the focus group, it's going to take an hour to 90 minutes. You'll get a short survey, and you're going to get four questions. We couldn't get it down to three. Basically, why do you go to all of it? What are our strengths? What are the opportunities we have to get better? And what are the traits that we want to see in a senior pastor? So please sign up either in the back or electronically. I will tell you there's three groups happening between services today. There's one for 20 to 34-year-olds. It's going to be up in the library. There's one for 35 to 49-year-olds. That's in the Olivet Conference Room. And then there's one for parents of school-age children that's going to be in the upper room. So if you fit one of those categories, or if you want to fit one of those categories, we do not ask for photo IDs. Please show up. So thank you for that, and I look forward to everybody participating over the next couple of weeks in all these focus groups.
Thank you, Tom, and also thank you, Tom, for your excellent leadership within the Transition Task Force. These are very important times in the life of our congregation. I encourage you to be part of one of the focus groups, and also applications for the call committee are at the front desk. For those of you who are considering that, please pick up an application today. A couple other things. By the end of the worship, we're going to be smelling pancakes. And not only will we smell, but we can eat pancakes. I encourage you to come to the fellowship hall afterwards. The proceeds from the pancake breakfast will go to youth scholarship, so we want to generously support that. Two other things about our youth program. Castaway retreat applications are due this week, so note the comment in the bulletin. And also next week, bring backpacks, because there'll be kids will be a backpack blessing. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to ask the three-year-olds to gather at the font for a blessing. But before we do that, now, in a moment of quiet, let us come to worship and worship the one who unfolds all beginnings to us in our life and our congregation.
this time, I want to invite our three-year-olds and their parents to come to the font. So three-year-olds and parents, make your way over here. This is a very special day. These three-year-olds are beginning their first day of Sunday school. And we make promises for these children. And we'll hear it again as Macy's baptized in a few moments. We promise at their baptism that we will teach them. We will share faith with them. And so this is part of keeping that baptismal promise. So as three-year-olds come forward, we are going to offer them a blessing as we sing our opening hymn. And we'll make the sign of the cross on their forehead and say, Child of God, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. A reminder of that baptism and the promises that that God keeps. So keep all of our three-year-olds and all of our Sunday school students in your thoughts and prayers. We'll continue with our confession.
Would you please stand if you are able? Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the only sovereign, who dwells in light, Christ Jesus, who came to save sinners, the Holy Spirit, who lives within us. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, and I invite you to kneel. God of overflowing grace, we come to you with repentant hearts. Forgive us for shallow thankfulness. Forgive us for passing wants in need. Forgive us for setting our hopes on fleeting prayers. Forgive us our neglect and thoughtlessness. Bring us home from the wilderness of sin and strengthen us to serve you in all that we do and say. Through Jesus There is joy in heaven over every sinner who repents. By the grace of God in Christ Jesus, who gave himself up for us, your sins are forgiven and you are made free. Rejoice with the angels and with one another. We are home in God's mercy, now and forever. As we stand, we join in our opening hymn, All Are Welcome. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And let us pray. O God, overflowing with mercy and compassion, you lead back to yourself all those who go astray. Preserve your people in your loving care, that we may reject whatever is contrary to you, and may follow all things that sustain our life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Invite us to turn our attention here to the baptismal font. We get to celebrate God's grace on a regular basis here at Olivet, and it is a privilege to celebrate today with Macy Ann as God claims her forever in God's love and grace. If you'd like to follow along, it's in the beginning of the red hymnal on page 227, or we'll also have the congregational responses both in our bulletin and on the screen. Let us begin. In baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father, frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are reborn children of God and made members of the church, the body of Christ. Living with Christ and in communion of the saints, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. Jenna and Brady, called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to have Macy Ann baptized into Christ? If so, please respond, we do. As you bring Macy to receive this gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with her among God's faithful people, to bring her to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, place in her hands the Holy Scriptures, nurture her in faith and in prayer, so that both Macy and Melody may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God made, and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help both your children grow into Christian faith and life? If so, again, please respond, we do. And you have chosen some special people to be sponsors to Macy Ann. And so, sponsors, I ask you, do you promise to nurture Macy in the Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit to help her live in the covenant of baptism and in communion of the church? If so, please respond, we do. Here at Olivet, we have a guardian angel program. It's where our older kids watch out for our younger kids and have a special connection, a special friend here at church. Chloe, you have been guardian angel for Melody, and now for Macy, I ask you, do you promise to pray for Macy Ann and be her special friend here at church? If so, please respond, I will.
I will.
Thank you. And people of God, you are a part of this so much. Do you promise to support Macy Ann and pray for her in her new life in Christ? If so, enthusiastically respond, we do.
We do.
And now I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus. Reject sin and confess the faith of the church. First, what we stand against. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? If so, I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? If so, I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? If so, I renounce them. Let us stand together as we profess our Christian faith together. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family, and through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river Jordan your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death and raise us up to live in you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, the power of your living word, that those who are washed in the waters of baptism may be given new life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, both now and forever. Amen. I invite the congregation to please be seated as Macy Ann is brought forward for baptism. Macy Ann, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of your future classmates are cheering you on. Can you hear them? I'll give you this to give to her on her confirmation day. And let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Macy Ann with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Macy Ann, child of God, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. Chloe, would you be willing to light that for us from the Christ candle? Light is a powerful symbol in the Christian faith. It's a reminder that God's light shines through our lives, and we are called to carry this light and this good news into the world. So as you give that to Macy's mom, we say to Macy, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. And now I would invite us to join together in congregational response number 3. Let us welcome the newly baptized. We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world. And let us welcome our new little sister with claps, shouts, and applause.
I would invite you to please turn to page 69 in the Bible found in your pew. While Moses is on Mount Sinai, the people grow restless and make a golden calf to worship. Today's reading shows Moses as the mediator between an angry God and a sinful people. Moses reminds God that the Israelites are God's own people and boldly asks mercy for them. The first lesson is from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, beginning at verse 7. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once. Your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, how stiff-necked they are. Now let me alone, so that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and of you I will make a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath, change your mind, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, how you swore to them by your own self, saying to them, 'I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven. In all this land that I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he had planned to bring on his people." Here ends the lesson. Please turn to your bulletins and read Psalm 51 responsively with me. We will begin with verse 1. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so you are justified when you speak and write in your judgment. Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb. Indeed, you are a delight in truth deep within me, and would have me know wisdom deep within. Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my wickedness. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Please turn to page 963 in your Bibles and find 1 Timothy chapter 1. The letters to Timothy are called the pastoral epistles because they contain advice especially intended for leaders in the church. Here, the mercy shown to Paul, who once persecuted the church, is cited as evidence that even the most unworthy may become witnesses to the grace of God. The second lesson is from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. "I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
The gospel for today, the 17th Sunday after the Pentecost, is from the gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. You can find this on page 850 in your pew Bible. Luke writes, "Now, all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.' So Jesus told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and I'd like to invite forward the children for a children's message this morning. So we want to come and join me up here. Come on up. Here. Right. That's good. Pastor Bill is a roadie. So, I am so glad to see you guys here today. This is a day that we like to call around here homecoming, because all kinds of things are coming together, and we gather here, and we get to have church together and go to Sunday school, and it's wonderful. I want to ask you guys a question. Did you hear those stories that Jesus just told? Okay, how many of you have at least one pet? Yeah, what do you have for a pet? You got a dog? What do you have, Aiden? Another dog? What do you have? Oh, you got a same one that he has, right? Okay, yeah. What do you have for a pet? A cat? All right. What do you have? A dog? What do you have? You got a dog? You get a dog. What do you get? A dog. How many of you have two pets? Nobody has. You have another dog. Okay. What if you had 10 pets? What would you think of that? Wouldn't that be fun? If you didn't have to feed them and
other stuff, right? It would be fun, wouldn't it? Now, I bet that you guys love your pets, don't you? Yeah. What if you had 10 pets and one of them got lost? What would you do? You'd go and find it? What would you do? Yeah. Where would you look? Everywhere? Where would you look? You would go in your room and cry. I would too. And then we'd go and look, right? I had a dog that used to run away all the time, but we knew where she was. We'd go over to the country club because they gave her hot dogs. Yeah. So you would go anywhere to find that lost pet, wouldn't you? Yeah. Now, how about if you had something like this? What do I have here? Yeah, there's a bunch of quarters in there, right? Now, if you had all these quarters, and what if you lost one of them? What would you do? You'd go and find it. What if it rolled away, and would you just say, oh, forget it? You would? What if these were dollars? Then, yeah, it's inflation. Yeah, you'd go find it, wouldn't you? That's what Jesus was trying to tell those people. Do you want to say something, honey? Your mom had 5 pets? Yeah, and if one of them got lost, you'd go find it. And so would we. Jesus said that God loves you so much that God will keep coming to find you no matter what and hold you and keep you safe. That's why he told those stories. You can't escape? Jesus can't. No. He's going to keep looking for us. So today, remember how much God loves you, and God will keep looking for you to let you know how much you're loved, okay? Will you remember that? Just like you would find a pet or a lost coin? Okay. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for these boys and girls and all of their love and excitement. Be with them now. Let them know how much you love them and how you keep coming after them to hold them, to make them yours. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks for coming up this morning, you guys. You want to go back to moms and dads and your families and friends there? All right. Thank you. I'll bet one of them is going to be back here looking for a quarter before long. Today is one of those days that we've called for many years, homecoming, because we get to come home together here. Anyone else have a busy summer this year? Well, it's busy. Wonderful stuff. There's events, there's gatherings. We go out of town a lot. We don't always get the opportunity to be here together like this. We travel, right? I received a wonderful picture this week. That was actually 4 pictures of 4 Tom Hanks movies, right? There was a picture of Apollo 13, right? That nearly failed space mission. They almost didn't get back from space. Castaway, right? He's marooned on a desert island, right? Captain Phillips, that ship captain that was hijacked by Somali pirates, right? And the new one that's coming out, Sully, about the landing the plane on the Hudson River. So the caption said, I don't know about you, but one thing I will never do is travel with Tom Hanks. Probably pretty good advice. I mean, you're likely going to get lost. I thought it was perfect. But we gather here today as those who get lost, but also are found. And so it's a time to rejoice, to be together. It's homecoming. We're here together. And when we gather here, there's joy among the angels of heaven when we're together in this holy place.
we hear those parables that Jesus tells, those stories of a lost sheep and a lost coin, how the seeker goes out to find them no matter what. But notice the sheep didn't come back to the flock on its own. And that coin didn't just reappear, didn't just roll back into plain sight. The seeker goes on a mission. So sure, these parables, these stories are about our lostness, but really they're more about God. They're more about the one who relentlessly seeks us out wherever we are. It's probably better to call these stories the seeker of the lost. And notice, when the sheep and the coin are found, you see what the seeker does? Invites friends over to celebrate together. It's why we need to be here together. We find out that this seeker will go anywhere to find us. We listen to just how far God will go. Now, it's homecoming. We're here in this place. Certainly we know that God seeks and finds us here in this place. Think of the ways that happens. We gather at the font regularly. And when we do, I hope each of us remembers that gift of baptism that holds us as God's child. God seeks us there. God seeks us when we're singing, whether it's organ or the piano or the band. God seeks us when we sing these words of hope. God seeks us when we gather around the Lord's table to partake in that foretaste of the feast to come, a gift given for the forgiveness of sin. God seeks us when we gather here at the foot of the cross, laying our lives at Jesus' feet. God seeks us here. But God encounters us outside of this place too. And maybe that's more of a challenge to realize that. But the Holy Spirit of God goes to all of those dark, frightening places that we might get lost in this world. In what dark, scary corners have you ever found yourself? Like that lost sheep, sometimes we nibble ourselves away. And we just nibble and all of a sudden we're lost. I mean, ask anyone who's ever suffered from an addiction. There's no one who ever took that first drink or drug and said, yep, I'm going to do this so I mess up my life. No. It's nibbling away. Or ask anyone who's had marital difficulties. No one comes to the altar to say, I do, with the intention to go astray. Nibble away. Or like that lost coin that's rolled into the dark. What about this day? As we gather here on the 15th anniversary of 9/11. Does the memory of that day or its aftermath bring fear, anxiety, darkness? Today we remember that we've come so far, but we have so far to go. You see, the good and the great news for our spiritual journey is that whenever we're lost, in whatever way, God keeps coming after us. We might start thinking, well, this faith thing, maybe it's just easy. I guess maybe the goal is don't get lost. Well, that'd be great. But let me know how that works out for you. When in the history of humanity has that ever worked? One way or another, sooner or later, we do. We get lost in many ways. God seeks us. Another great Tom Hanks movie, like Forrest Gump. His lieutenant from Vietnam, who's lost his legs. He's really lost. And the two of them are together years later, and he says, "You found Jesus, Gump?" To which he replies, "I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him, sir." Forrest Gump would have made a really great Lutheran. The understanding. Jesus isn't lost. We're the ones who get lost. Jesus is the seeker. The gospel is that when we're lost and when we can't do it on our own, the searcher of hearts comes after us wherever we are, even in dark, scary, dangerous places. This unrelenting love comes after us. It's exactly what led him to the darkness of the cross. And perhaps, maybe we come together and it feels like we're lost, but we're not being sought, like no one's looking. But that's precisely when Jesus, the one who suffered, that's precisely when he sits with us in the dark, abandoned corners of our lives. And so today, it's homecoming. We're together. But on this 15th anniversary of September the 11th, 2001, we'll hear many stories. And this one caught my attention. It's the story of a man named John Field. John was a first responder at Ground Zero. As he was working through the rubble, 8,000 pounds of steel fell on his foot. Spent a couple months in the hospital, and he said he's finding himself fortunate and blessed. Because as he lay in that hospital, so many other of those recovery workers breathed that toxic air for days and weeks and months on end. And now, they've documented some 40,000 cases of 70 different types of cancer that have resulted from that. He says he's fortunate. So he started a memorial wall, and he's etching the names in stone of those who died as first responders, either there or in the years since. And he didn't just leave it there. He's seeking out families of those who were lost in order to provide help for them. He started a foundation. He organizes all kinds of fundraisers to help those in need. He could have wandered off with his injury and self-pity. Instead, he seeks those who need a little help in order to bring them light. How much more does the divine love of Jesus seek us? Our God surely seeks us in this place when we gather together. And does as much outside of this place, perhaps more, in our darkness, in our danger, and in our hope. It's homecoming. We're together. God seeks us here. And very soon back out into the world in our everyday lives. And for that, the angels of heaven rejoice.
At this time, I would invite the ushers to come forward to receive this morning's offering. As we continue our worship service, another offering that we have, I'm going to invite the worship band to come around and we'll make a semicircle here as we proceed with the installation of our contemporary music coordinator, Emily Black. First, the presentation.
After prayerful deliberation, we of Olivet Lutheran Church have appointed Emily Black to serve in the position of contemporary music coordinator.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, who came among us as a servant, calls us to faith and a life of loving service to our neighbor. You come among us as one invited to be the contemporary music coordinator. We now have a reading from Scripture.
Stewards of manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ.
Emily, as a leader of music that lifts praise to God, do you joyfully and willingly offer your skills and training and devotion to this ministry? If so, please respond, I do, and I ask God to help me.
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Trusting in God's care, will you seek to grow in love for those you serve, strive for excellence in your skills, and adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ with a godly life? If so, again, I will, and I ask God to help me.
I will, and I ask God to help me.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given Emily the will to do these things. Now graciously give her strength and compassion to perform them, to lead us as our contemporary music coordinator. In Jesus' name, amen. To the whole congregation, we know that as we join in ministry, we do so in community. We do so as the body of Christ. So as the congregation, will you support Emily with your encouragement and your prayers as together we seek to call upon God and praise God? If so, together we will, and we ask God to help us.
We will, and we ask God to help us.
Let us pray.
O God of majesty, whom saints and angels delight to worship, strengthen and bless your servant Emily, who through your gift of music seeks to enliven our praises and proclaim your word with power. Through this ministry, give us new awareness of your beauty and grace, and join our voices with all the choirs of heaven, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Emily, I now declare you installed as our contemporary music coordinator. Almighty God, bless you and direct your days and your deeds in peace, that you may be a faithful servant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us welcome Emily as our newly installed music coordinator.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to take this opportunity to offer an invitation to anybody who is interested in being a part of the worship team. We are always looking for more singers and for instrumentalists, whether you play the accordion or the oboe. There's got to be some accordion players in here. I would love for you to contact me. I think that I have some information in the bulletin that you can look at as far as how to contact me. So please feel welcome to just contact us. We'd love to get to know you and to have the opportunity to praise with you.
Thank you, Emily, and thank you to our president of the congregation, Janice, and for the whole worship band team who has helped lead us this day. Blessings. And I would invite the congregation to please rise as we continue with prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Loving God, we often get lost. We are so grateful when we are found by you time and time again. When life nibbles away, may your word welcome us back with grace and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy, this day we remember all that happened on 9/11. We lift up the families for our country, for the first responders, that you would keep us mindful and focused, that we are called to live out our faith. We ask that you guide world leaders today and always with your peace and your justice, that you would be with any who suffer from the result of war, violence, terrorism, or natural disaster. We pray especially for those willing to serve on behalf of others in dangerous situations, for their first responders, firefighters, emergency medical persons, members of the military, law enforcement, and those we name before you now, either silently or aloud. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We also have so much to be grateful for. We thank you for the blessings among us. Thank you for the three-year-olds coming to Sunday and Wednesday school for the first time. We give you thanks for the installation of Emily Black as our contemporary worship coordinator. We're blessed to be a part of the baptism of Macy Ann and celebrate with her parents, Jenna and Brady. May you continue to bless us in our baptism and send us forth in faith. Lord, in your mercy, loving God, in the midst of different perspectives, we pray for those who are standing up for their sacred lands at Standing Rock, for those responding, that there would continue to be peace. help us all be good stewards of the earth, water, sky, and seas. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray, gracious God, for ministers of all sorts. We pray for our youth leaders and Sunday school teachers, for our mentors and faith relationships. We give you thanks for the Youth Scholarship Fund that lifts up and offers opportunity to those who may not have had it. Continue to call us to offer our gifts in this world as we are blessed with the honor to serve in your name. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for this congregation that we would welcome newcomers, make this a place of hope, and continue to respond to the needs of those who are needing healing in body, mind, or spirit. We lift up Lorraine Fryer, Gerhard Storm, Joyce Wallman, Audrey Obergewich, Tim Anderson, and all those we name before you now. We continue to lift up those who are grieving. Be with John and Katie Allman at the death of their babies, Jack Stephen, Milo Mark, and Lenny Pearl. Be with the Thomason family at the death of Jim's dad, Fred. Be with Bernice Schneck at the death of her sister, Lynn Melby. And be with the Pepley family at the death of Helen. May you surround them with your grace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray. We are trusting in your mercy. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lift up your hearts and receive now the blessing. God Almighty, send you light and truth to keep you all the days of your life. The hand of God protect you. The holy angels accompany you. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. We join in our closing hymn, 731.